There is a phrase that so many people are using today, including well-known authorities, and it actually does more harm than good. So today, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so today we're going to discuss a phrase, and actually several variations of the phrase, that hurts us in sales. You ready for this? I mean, it's going to be the most simplest phrase, and you're going to think that I'm making a big deal about nothing. I want you to stay with me on this one. Here's the phrase, and then I'm going to give you the variations of the phrase. The phrase is, research has shown. Research has shown. Variations of the phrase. According to research, according to science, studies have shown, experts agree, statistically speaking, it's been proven that. Now, these phrases are accepted and they're used regularly. In many cases, you will hear thought leaders using these phrases. All of us, I can pretty much guarantee you, have been guilty of using those phrases. So why would I tell you not to use them? And I don't want you to answer out loud because it's going to look weird if you're in your office. The reason why I'm telling you not to use them is because not one of these phrases actually references the source of the information. And when you put things out there and you're not referencing a source, and you're saying things like studies have shown, and research has shown, and according to this, and according to that, number one, you come across as someone who made the information up. Number two, you also come across as someone pretending to be a tad smarter than they actually are. Number three, you're not demonstrating your expertise, and it kind of sounds a bit shady. You're not building trust, and at a minimum, you sound like every other sales rep that like they've ever spoken to. Number four, and I kind of saved this one for last. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me. It reminds me of that whole scene with Ron Burgundy in Anchorman, and he's having his first date with Veronica, and they're arguing over the translation of San Diego, or San Diego, as he said. And he used this phrase. Scholars maintain that the translation was lost years ago. Scholars maintain. Who the hell are these scholars? And my question to you guys is, well, according to what research? According to what statistics? What studies? So the problem with those phrases is that we're not citing any kind of a source for them. So it can come across as shady. And it's important that somebody tells you something. And it's something that you've known all along. You're not going to like it when I say it. But I believe in your heart you know it's true. The vast majority of people out there have trust issues with sales reps. And in many cases, it's not our fault, right? It's just sort of the reputation that salespeople in general have. And many of these buyers and decision makers, they've been burned. Hey, many of us salespeople have been burned by other salespeople. Doesn't mean that we're all shady and that we're all liars. It just means that a lot of people take what we say with a grain of salt. So if we're going to be making these statements, it's going to pack a lot more punch, and we're going to have a lot more credibility if we actually reference the source of that information. So let's do like a little bit of kind of a before and after research has shown makeover. And I want you to decide which phrase sounds better. Research has shown that 97% don't consider salespeople to be trustworthy. Let me say it again. Research has shown that 97% don't consider sales reps to be trustworthy. Now let's do the after. That's the before. And tell me if you like the after a little bit better. According to research conducted by HubSpot, 97% don't consider salespeople to be trustworthy. Now, I'm hoping you picked the after version, version number two. And I'm hoping you picked it because it sounds a hell of a lot more believable, because we're actually referencing it, instead of making things sound like we made them up. I'm telling you the actual source of that information. Let's try another before and after research has shown makeover example here. And by the way, this one should hit home for a lot of you guys, because and women too, of course. And I mean guys, like, just like, hey, dudes, dudettes. But if you look at what we just came off of here, Super Bowl Sunday not too long ago, a week ago, as of this recording, I mean, it's now, I almost said December 10th. It's we went back in time. Now the Super Bowl is going to be in December. You guys missed the memo. I'm talking about, it's now February 10th, 2019. And a week ago, we had the Super Bowl. So which one is more believable, the before? An estimated 17 million people called in sick the day after the Super Bowl. Let me say it again. An estimated 17 million people called in sick the day after the Super Bowl, or the after version. According to a survey commissioned by the Workforce Institute at Kronos, an estimated 17 million people called in sick the day after the Super Bowl. The second one, I'm hoping again you picked the second one here, the after version. Why? Because it's a hell of a lot more believable. Why is it more believable? Because I actually referenced the source. Now I'm going to tell you something. This is what I really believe in sales, and I hope you feel the same way. And if not, then hell, we've got nothing to talk about here. We're going to have to part as friends or something. Or as Ron Burgundy would say, agree to disagree. I hope that you realize that to decision makers, to buyers, many of us sound the same. Many of us sound identical. And I never realized that. That was something that, of course I knew it, but I never really thought about it until I was in a decision-making role, until I owned my own business. And then I realized just how much everybody sounds the same out there. And then in that moment, when I say everybody, the really hard part of that lesson, being the humble student here, was realizing that I was also sounding exactly the same as my competitors. The way that we differentiate is by doing lots of little things differently. I mean, if you can be blessed enough with your widget that you've got a major thing that you can put out there, God bless, go get them. Most of us, we don't have that, especially when you're dealing with competitive industries. What we have going for us are lots of little things that we can do differently. So in this case, this can really separate us from everyone else by being more believable. So here's a tip. You absolutely, and you don't need me to tell you this, but here's a gentle reminder. Of course, you are embracing pre-call planning before a meeting. I believe in doing some pre-call planning before we send out certain emails, believe it or not, a cold call, a follow-up call. And while we're embracing that pre-call planning, there's a lot of different steps in pre-call planning. But one of the things that we're doing, it has to do with preparation for the call. We have our research. Of course, we need to know what the objectives are for that interaction. But we also need to have some preparation for it. Now, we're not going to spend 7 years preparing for a phone call. But we do have to prepare a little bit if we want to stand apart. So what I want you to do, here's the tip part of it. Look at your talking points and answer the following question. You ready? Specifically, who else says so besides me? specifically, who else says so besides me? That's going to get you back on track. So if you find yourself using those phrases, well, studies have shown, or research tells us, or industry standards are, well, according to who said so besides you? What's the source of that? I want you to think about that. And if you're in person, like you have a face-to-face type of meeting, one of the things that you can do is actually print out the study that you are referencing and hold it in your hand. And when you mention the study, you show people this and be prepared to leave that with them at the end of the meeting. I wouldn't do it while you were talking unless it's something that you wanted to review it bullet by bullet, or you wanted everybody to read it together, whatever. Because the problem is, if you hand it to them while you're talking, guess what they're going to be paying attention to? They're going to be, they're going to be paying attention to something quite different than you think. Because here's what happens many times. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent. And many times we think about PowerPoints. And when people write out these really long-winded bullets on a slide, and they're reading those bullets, so people are reading the bullets, and now you're talking through the bullets, you would think then that at a minimum, they're not paying attention to you. Is that a safe assumption? Because I think it is. So you would think that they're so busy reading the bullets that they're not paying attention to you. That could be the case. That would actually be the best scenario for you, that they're doing that. But they're probably not doing that. What they're probably doing, and I want you to think about this, the minute they're trying to read something and you're talking, there's noise, and they shut down. Because that's what I do. When it's too much noise, I shut down and my mind goes somewhere else. It begins my outer body experience. And I think it would be the same way here if you handed somebody the research as you're talking. They're going to be thumbing through it. It's almost like thumbing through a proposal while you're talking about it. So you want to have that control of the proposal and go through it together. So it's the same thing here. But one little point that I want to make, if you are going to leave a copy of the study that you're referencing for someone, obviously, especially if it's a long-winded type of study, highlight the key points. Highlight that for them so they immediately go to it, because we're dealing with people with shorter attention spans. And I don't know about you guys, again, when I see something that's very intimidating and long-winded and not getting to the point, I begin to shut down. My mind goes elsewhere. And in many cases, it's an impatience thing that I have. And I know I'm not alone in this. It's, I don't have time for this. I guess I'll read it later. And I never do. So I want you to be aware of that. One other thing that you can do when you are referencing an actual study in an email, you can link to it. Again, I would be very careful of how you do that, only because it could distract them from the main message. They may not continue reading on because they click on the link, it takes them somewhere else, and oh look, a bright shiny object, and new window opens, and you lost them. But it's something that you could do. You could also put a little footnote and at the bottom of the email show the actual study that you've referenced. That could be a good way to do it. But it's about credibility. So those are some things that you can do. But I want you to know something, that when we provide evidence, real evidence, a form of real evidence is what we talked about today. A form of real evidence is when you say, according to the ABC company, according to HubSpot, according to New York City research firm Basics, when you start providing the actual source, what's going to happen is that you're going to reduce doubt, skepticism, and even objections. So here's your takeaway today. If you're going to use phrases like research has shown, according to research, according to science, studies have shown, experts agree, statistically speaking, it's been proven that, or if you like the Ron Burgundy approach and you simply choose to use the phrase scholars maintain. You owe it to the recipient to be more specific than that and mention who those scholars are. Who are these scholars that maintain? Who are these experts that agree? Who conducted that damn research? It's going to be a lot more believable. So that's your assignment. I want you to look at your talking points. And whenever you have these talking points and you want to come across as more believable, you want to use evidence, and a form of evidence is referencing the actual study, the actual statistics, the actual case study. And when we say we're referencing the actual one, we're saying the name of the organization who conducted that study. It's a hell of a lot more believable. And that's it, folks. Short and sweet. Today's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast has been brought to you by our 2019 sales program. And if you'd like to learn more, please visit YourSalesPlaybook.com/rockstar. I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit our blog at YourSalesPlaybook.com/blog.